It's the Brady and the Bunch podcast, presented by 101.3 The Game.
All right, welcome back. It is the Brady and the Bunch podcast. Today is Thursday, November 14th, and it's actually an interview I've been looking forward to for a long time. We've had it set up for a while, and it's fitting that it happens here the week of Veterans Day, because we've got three members of the U.S. Army that are stationed here in the Champlain Valley in studio with us. So we'll just kind of go down the line. It's a lot of fun. Here we've got Todd, we've got Nathaniel, Nate, and we've got Cody as well. So we're just going to kind of start here with some intros on some things, and I'll start with you, Todd, because you are a captain. So kind of tell us exactly a little bit about how you got into the military.
Okay, great. So, you know, as mentioned, I'm Captain Todd Wiegman. So, you know, I first joined the military back in 2011, and what really drew me to it is a sense of being able to do something that you can't do anywhere else. It's a unique profession. It's unique job opportunities that are provided to you. And at the same time, I combined the Army benefits to pay for my schooling as well, so that was kind of a twofer there. And from there, I've been in the Army for almost 9 years now.
Wow.
And going strong.
So, Nathaniel, now, what is your rank? What's your story of how you got in?
So, my name is Sergeant First Class Nathan Hayes. I originally joined the Army to pay for nursing school.
Wow.
I just really wanted to help somebody, you know, take care of people. Originally joined the Army as a combat medic with intentions of going through our license practice, but I discovered that I'm really good at trauma medicine. I really enjoy trauma medicine. And I just like being out with soldiers, so just stuck with it. And I've been in the Army for almost 12 years now.
Wow. Cody, same question.
So as a selfish reason at first, I wanted the college benefits. I wanted to go in for 4 years, my initial plan, go in for 4 years and then get my try to work on my degree while I was in and then get out to college benefits, the Montgomery GI Bill, and finish my college education. Mm-hmm. I realized that I loved it so much and that I was having fun in my current job as a tank commander that I just wanted to make a career out of it after that, and albeit still getting my degree while I'm in right now, while pursuing my career. It's great.
Nathaniel, I'll ask you this question first because you've been in the longest, I believe. You have the longest amount of service so far. What is Veterans Day here? We're week of Veterans Day. What does Veterans Day mean to you?
So Veterans Day to me really just means honoring those who have come before us, especially wearing the uniform. To me, it's special because without the men and women who wore the uniform before, I wouldn't be able to wear the uniform now. I wouldn't be able to serve and have the benefits and the lifestyle that I have. So I'm very thankful for them who have allowed me to do what I'm doing.
Todd, how about the captain?
Absolutely. For me, it really means just being thankful for and honoring the people that have worn the uniform and raised their hand saying, I will defend the nation, and it's a good lifestyle, which is military service.
You know, one of the things that I think, and I'll raise my hand and say I'm one of these people, I think the people that are naive or uninformed, they assume that everybody's in the military is a fighter. Everyone who's in the military is in combat all the time. And I've learned through various other, you know, podcasts and just getting older and meeting people, that is very much not the case. That there are several different divisions don't have combat, but are also very, very important. So, Todd, I'll start with you again. Kind of talk to me about what your role is, because you're here right now. You're not out in combat.
Absolutely. So this role is kind of unique for me. It's a two-year assignment in my case, and you know I'm normally a military intelligence officer, so it's totally a different assignment here being in the recruiting realm, looking for those youths to join our Army and be part of the team. And so this is definitely a break from the normal aspect of my job, which is intelligence, which is not a combat role.
So when you say intelligence, like fancy word for a spy? I mean, I won't ask you too many detailed government questions, but fancy word for spy, stuff like that?
Well, interestingly enough, it's such a broad field that it's being an expert in world affairs. So if you're into, you know, international relations, political science, things of that nature, it's understanding other countries around the world, their cultures, and how they interact with the United States.
I've been watching a lot of Jack Ryan on Prime lately, so I'm feeling like I feel like I got some intel too, and I watched a lot of Burn Notice on USA back in the day. So, you know, I feel like I taught myself a lot of things. So, Cody, I'll ask you the same question. What's your day to day like as a sergeant?
So currently, right now, as a recruiter, I work 9-to-5 job. It's pretty self explanatory. A lot of administrative paperwork currently, but just processing people into the Army is our job. But mostly, it's not just getting them in the Army. It's guiding them on a career path that's going to help them in the future. So even if they're just looking at a career in the Army, or maybe perhaps looking to similar to what I did, actually, just get in 4 years perhaps and then get out and utilize some of those benefits. And that's what Veterans Day is kind of in remembrance of those people that have served.
And Nate, you talk about being a combat medic, being a trauma medic. Have you been on the front lines in combat before where you've seen combat injuries, things like that?
I have, actually. So we did 9 months in Afghanistan where we did treat several traumatic injuries. But the thing that a lot of people may not know is that as a combat medic, that's not our only role. We actually do limited primary care for illnesses and acute injuries, sprains, you know, broken bones, things like that. But we also have the opportunity to work in hospitals and clinics. One cool story about being a medic that I think is really awesome is there's one time I was in the ears, nose, and throat clinic at Fort Leonard Wood, and I had the opportunity to be the scrub tech for our surgeon, and he actually allowed me to assist with some of his surgeries and clothes. So it was a really cool experience. It goes beyond just being out on the front lines.
What's the difference between, you know, if you're reacting to something on the front lines or something in combat versus, you know, me going to the hospital? Because it's very, very different field medicine versus being a doctor or a nurse that's in a practicing hospital or something.
It sure is. So out in the field, what really separates that from the clinic is the time manner. There are no doctors. There are no nurses. So as a medic, it's my job to make those life-saving decisions right then and there. Yeah. It's my job to do a lot of really cool interventions that out in the civilian world, a lot of even nurses aren't allowed to do.
Wow.
So it gives me a really cool broad set, and it really works for like troubleshooting and critical thinking of, I've got this injury. Not only do I have to stop the bleeding, but what else has been injured in the process? You know, how is their breathing? How are their vital signs? You know, how do I keep this soldier alive?
You know, our level, meaning the U.S.'s level of involvement in Afghanistan specifically, which you mentioned, has gone down in the last 15 years or so. When were you there exactly, and what was that experience like?
So I was there in 2014. I was down at a place called Camp Clark near the Pakistan border. And for us, it was mostly sustainment operations more than actual combat operations.
Mm-hmm.
We were there as part of a advisory brigade role where we were assisting the Afghan National Army and Afghan National Police in training them to be able to handle their own missions without our involvement.
Todd, have you gone overseas to this point yet?
Yeah, I have. I've been overseas a few times.
To which places?
Well, some of the more interesting places that, you know, that we can talk about here is like going to Egypt and Oman, some places you don't normally think about when you think about the U.S. military, especially the Army, in terms of our roles overseas.
Yeah, what were those experiences like? Because you're right, I don't think of those. You know, I think of places where the U.S. is involved or where the U.S. has a presence, mm-hmm. and that isn't one of them.
Absolutely. So, you know, the United States Army has a presence in many countries around the world, and our main focus is, you know, advise, assist, and help build their forces up so they become more capable and therefore secure the area. So, like in Egypt and Oman, you know, partnering with the local security forces and helping them directly fight ISIS was a main focus of our mission.
So what's the relationship like between you and the, I don't know if the civilians, the other groups over there? Because I think when people step back and they say, man, that seems like it would be a pretty tenuous situation, I feel at least like maybe it's a better relationship than it gets credit for.
Absolutely. And it's definitely directly partnering with those local governments, the state governments of those countries that we're in, and just ensuring that their soldiers who are on the front lines essentially have the best training possible so they can carry out their mission in their own country.
Did you become a fan of Egyptian cuisine, or was it very, very localized American food on base?
It was very much local food, and it was delicious.
Yeah? What's the best? If I go to an Egyptian restaurant, what's the thing I got to have?
Oh, geez. They have tons of dishes that have rice and chicken, anything like that. You can't go wrong.
Was it very spicy? Because I don't do spice all that well.
It was not.
Okay, good. Cody, have you been overseas at this point?
I have. I've been deployed 3 times.
Which places?
Yeah. So I've been deployed to Afghanistan, but probably the most interesting place was actually Jordan.
Okay.
It's probably one of my favorite places. They had an MWR trip, and that's just a recreation center for the Army. And so they did take us out. We got to see the I believe it's called the Dead Sea.
Okay,
The Dead Sea, yeah. And it's so salty, actually. Yeah. Funny story. You can actually just go in it. You can't. They don't want you to open up your eyes because the actual waves and stuff will get in there, and it will burn your eyes.
Unbelievable.
Completely. And, you can just sit there, and it basically just raises you up because the salt content in the water is so heavy.
See, I think when a civilian hears you're getting deployed, the first answer is, that stinks. But you guys are all talking about what a benefit it has been and how much you enjoyed the chance to serve overseas, right, and how much you learned and took away from other cultures.
Yeah, it's really a, I would say, humbling experience to actually see how other cultures and countries actually operate. And I think that's something a lot of maybe perhaps the youth and the an American population that haven't seen the other countries of how they operate and as far as their cultures are, and to realize that there's not much difference at all, actually, and that we're you can have fun over there just as much as you can over here.
Nate, 9 months in Afghanistan, what did you take away from the experience there?
Mostly what I took away from there, kind of echoing what Sergeant Parton said, was like knowing the different cultures and like the things that you take for granted here in the States, that you get over there and you're like, wow, you know, these guys are like dirt roads and donkeys, and we complain about some of the potholes in town during the wintertime,
yeah,
with our nice heated warmed cars. But really what stuck with me the most was just the like camaraderie, the brotherhood. You always hear like the band of brothers stories, but I mean, it's really true that the more you spend time with the soldiers you're around, you make lifelong friends. It doesn't matter, you know, you come to New York and your buddy goes to Alaska and the other one goes to Hawaii. You guys are still very close friends for the rest of your life.
You know, we talk about traveling abroad and doing things. I think it's well known that there's a lot of traveling domestically within the Army in the United States. You guys have probably gotten to see a number of the 50 states and see some pretty amazing things in this country that most people don't get an opportunity to see. So, Todd, where have you been? Where have you been stationed? Where have you traveled to?
Absolutely. So, you know, I've been to 5 different places so far in the Army. You know, I started off in Florida where I grew up and then moved to Oklahoma for some field artillery training. That was really cool, just seeing that, you know, the planes out there. And then from Oklahoma, moving out to Washington State, another great experience.
I'm a big Seattle fan, so tell me, yeah, you've been to some kind of Seattle sporting event.
Oh, absolutely.
Seahawks, Mariners.
Absolutely.
They probably lost.
Probably.
So,
and then moving from Washington down to Arizona, where I got some intelligence training to be an intelligence officer, and then moving to Texas, and then finally now to Vermont. So a bunch of different places in the U.S., and it's just been a great experience.
Nate, how about you?
So originally, you know, I'm from Arizona. When I grew up in a small town, so being in the Army is the first time I ever really got to travel. I did my basic training at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri, went to San Antonio, Texas for my medical training. My first duty assignment wasn't domestic, but it was actually in South Korea.
Okay.
I worked with the military police there for a while, went back to Fort Leonard Wood, then went to Fort Drum, New York, and now here I am serving in Plattsburgh. So obviously the Army's tried to beat the desert out of me, but I've loved my travels and experiences.
Cody, how about you?
So I was born and raised in Texas, but I joined the Army, went to Fort Knox, Kentucky. Actually, really beautiful up there. Then they sent me over there to Fort Carson, Colorado, probably one of the greatest places I've ever been, actually. And then I went to Fort Riley, Kansas up there. It's really windy in the hills there.
Yeah. They prepared you well for Burlington, Vermont?
Well, I wouldn't say that. We hardly got any snow.
Well, I mean, the wind,
oh,
at least.
Oh, well, yeah. No, it did get really cold there, that's for sure. But, yeah, and I actually requested Vermont because I just wanted to see something new.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys all ended up here in the Champlain Valley. Nate, I know you're based, you know, you're over in Plattsburgh, but you guys are in Burlington. Todd and Cody, why did you choose to be here when, I don't know if you had your choice of anywhere in the country, but you chose here. Why?
Like I said, I was over in Colorado, in Kansas. I was kind of always in the Midwest area.
Yeah.
And I've never been up here in the northeastern area. Hmm. You know, it seemed like, you know, someplace I always wanted to go. A lot of different history up here. I'm a huge history guy. So I figured it'd be a great opportunity to, you know, hey, let's just get up here. And that's honestly why I like the Army so much, is because I do move around. I get to experience new things. And, yeah, I really like the camping and hiking up here, too, by the way. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I don't camp. I do like hiking as long as it's not an all-day affair.
Well,
like,
as long as it's not in the cold wintertime
yeah,
either.
As long as it's not there either. So, Nate, how about you? Why did you choose the Champlain Valley area?
So I chose the Champlain Valley area because I just love the Adirondacks. It's a super beautiful place. So growing up in Arizona, while we do have mountains, we're in the tail ends of the Rocky. It's all a lot of like really tall pine, sagebrush, stuff like that. So coming out here and seeing like the maples, the oaks, I just really wanted to try something different. And, you know, even though I've been grew up in Arizona, I do love the snow, the ice. I do like the skiing, the snowboarding. Mm. You know, you guys may not like hiking in the wintertime, but I find snowshoeing to be fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's why I chose the area.
Todd, how about you?
Yeah, so just, you know, part of the fun of being in the Army and serving is the ability to go to new places and see new things. And like these other gentlemen have been saying, you know, I've never been to the Northeast. So when I got the opportunity to come to Vermont, I said, absolutely, sign me up. I will go there. And from here, we'll see what the next adventure brings.
Todd, now you mentioned you've been, now this is year 9 for you in the Army. How old are you now?
31.
Okay, so you joined at 22.
Yes.
So, you hear the stories of the family that's grown up where grandfather was in the military, father was in the military, and it's just kind of always been your calling. I don't know if that's your story, but you're telling me you joined it at 22. I got to think maybe you discovered the Army a little bit later than some other people have. What kind of turned you on in the first place?
Well, so for me, my family definitely has a history of service, both parents, grandparents, et cetera, just down the line.
Okay.
For me, though, I decided to go to college and go to do my four-year degree while also doing ROTC. And so at the end of that four-year degree, I commissioned as an officer, and off on my Army adventure I went.
All right, Nate, you're a big sports fan, so I'm going to start this question with you. You know the rigors of what it's like to be in the military, but also can imagine the rigors of what it's like to be a professional athlete. What do you think about you here of the limited number of professional athletes that are also military members as they're playing? Like Joe Cardona, who plays for the Patriots, is actively in the Navy. There's Alejandro Villanueva, who plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers, was formerly in the Army. I read a story the other day about a guy who played for the Patriots for a number of years and is now in the Army, started at age 30 and then became, you know, has become very, very high up in the military. I just think, like, it's really hard to be an athlete. Being in the military is at least very, very time-consuming and difficult in some ways. How can, like, the people that can do both, I think that's pretty special.
No, I agree 100%. The kind of cool thing, at least for, like, the physical aspects is, you know, the Army, we're pretty athletic ourselves.
Yeah.
While we may not specialize in a sport or something like that, like our professional athletes do, we do a lot of well-rounded things, you know, everything from being able to run to lift and carry heavy weights, moving them long distances. So I think that the military kind of helps prepare you for that a little bit. Or if you're really good at sports to begin with coming on in, there's actually a lot of opportunities while in to actually play sports,
you know,
which is super cool.
You know, I think part of the reason why I wanted to have this interview, in addition to just being around the week of Veterans Day, is also just to break stereotypes for people that don't quite understand. I think people have this perception that people in the military don't have time to do anything else but the military. But all three of you guys are, you know, around 30 years old. And all of you look like a lot of fun, look like I could go to a football game with you or whatever. What kind of stuff do you get a chance to do in your leisure time? Because I know there is some leisure time.
Well, mostly for me, like I said, I love
hiking. You love being outdoors.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I love it. And it is perfect up here in Vermont, like from kayaking. Well, not now.
Yeah, yeah, not now.
Definitely not now. But they have really great fishing out here. As a matter of fact, last time some of the guys took a tour guide up here on Lake Champlain.
Wow.
And, yeah, we went trout fishing up there, lake trout fishing. And, yeah, we caught some pretty big fish.
Yeah.
It was a great experience.
It was funny. A couple of podcasts ago, I had a guy on who was the first person to catch all 33 species of fish that live on Lake Champlain. So he's become the master angler of Lake Champlain. So I got to hook you up with that guy. All 33 or 34 species of fish, and I can't bait a hook, but
right.
I'm impressed by hearing his story.
So, yeah.
Nate, what do you like to do in your spare time? What do you get the opportunity to do in your spare time?
So in the last couple of years, used to be really huge in like video gaming and stuff like that. But the last couple of years, I've kind of really gotten into trying my hand at like shade tree mechanics. So
I don't know what that means.
I've actually got a nice little project car I'm working on. It's a 1970 Pontiac Firebird.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, using my leisure time and stuff like that to work on that, to learn how to work on engines and to fix it up, went from it being a brick to running. So I'm making some progress on it.
Todd, how about you?
Well, in my spare time, you know, a big part of it is with our 30 days of leave every year, traveling internationally.
Yeah.
Huge thing. You know, going overseas, different countries in South America or heading over to Europe for a few weeks. Definitely doable, you know, every year with those 30 days.
You know,
so that's a big piece.
Another stereotype or another thing I hear about the military is, hey, you know, it might be great for me, but it's hard on the family. We might be moving a lot. What if I have a wife? What if I have a husband? What if I have kids or whatever? But I think the thing that's not well known is that the military provides really, really great family benefits as a whole. So, like, if someone was joining the military and is worried about that kind of thing, maybe you could put their minds at ease a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So the benefits package, of course, is comprehensive. So, you know, full health care that covers, you know, eyes, ears, dental, everything. So you're covered on that aspect. So is your family as well. It extends to them at no cost to you. And then additionally, traveling with family is made super easy by the Army, of course. They pay for your move. So if you're moving across the country, that's all paid for. No expense out of pocket. And it's just a really great system to take care of your family with.
Cody, how about you? Do you have any experiences like that?
So I am currently single, but I do have just a little bit of piece of information for some of the people out there, though. It's called a FRG, Family Readiness Group.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, I as part of just experiencing and watching a lot of the people that do, in fact, have families, it's basically like a community within inside of the community.
Gotcha.
It's a really great group that they handle and schedule events just for their family members that are in the military. So it's almost as like they always say, you know, like this part of the job is your family actually being in the Army as well, almost. And they almost are, because they have their own little community within inside the Army.
You know, and it's cool that you say that, too, because the parallels between sports and military are oftentimes, you know, we'll say that game was a war out there. And I always roll my eyes when people say that. But the idea that sports and the military do have a lot of similarities, you know, it's the Red Sox have what they call the WAG Club, Wives and Girlfriends, and they have functions together, and the wives and girlfriends of Red Sox players will hang out, and they do charity auctions together, and they make social time for each other, and it helps build that community because they're in a position where their husband or boyfriend is gone a lot of the time playing baseball, and they still have this great family structure like when the player is gone.
Right.
The thing I hear, too, about the military a lot, and I've talked to a lot of military members over the course of the years and in this job and just meeting people and having friends in the military and friends who have had friends in the military, is that team environment. You know, a lot of people tell me, look, I played sports growing up. I love being part of it, love being towards a goal, and the military has provided them that opportunity. So, Nate, I'll start with you. Kind of you mentioned the brotherhood a couple of minutes ago. Kind of expand on that a little bit.
So the great thing about the Army is while we are an organization, we're made up of a bunch of individuals, but we come together as a team. Everything we do, even at the lowest level, is team-based. So you get part of that camaraderie and that brotherhood because you can't function and do your job without the soldiers to your left, your right, your front and back doing their jobs as well. So, you know, going back to being a medic, the infantrymen feel a lot more secure doing their jobs, knowing that I'm going to be there to help them out if they get hurt. But at the same time, they protect me because they know that if I'm safe, I can help them out. You even, you know, include like our mechanics into it. Like without mechanics, our trunks can't function. We can't do our job. So that brotherhood comes together as without everybody doing their parts, as a whole, the Army can't do what it's doing. So that's where a lot of that teamwork comes into play.
And Todd, it feels like those relationships last well beyond the time that you guys are actually serving. You know, mm-hmm. I see pictures all the time where there's a military wedding and everybody in the wedding is in the military too, or was in the military too. And I see, you know, my dad performs music on the side and goes to perform at the American Legion, and it's just packed every single night, you know, with veterans and things like that. Mm-hmm. Those relationships seems to be everlasting.
Absolutely. So whether you serve, you know, 2 years or 22 years, I mean, you're always going to come away with lifelong friends. It's just the nature of the business. So you're always going to be making those friends that you can count on through thick and thin. You know, it's part of wearing the uniform, and, you know, our name tape says U.S. Army. As soon as you see someone else in that same uniform, you know that it's a brother or a sister that you can count on.
You know, Cody, you mentioned you guys, you know, all do some recruiting in some levels way, but you do some recruiting here locally. And I think, again, we all know the idea of, okay, somebody goes to West Point. Somebody goes to Annapolis and joins the Navy. Someone goes to the Air Force Academy. Those are very, very hard to get into, but logically it makes sense for me, the civilian, to say, okay, that guy went to college for the military and now he's going into the military after. What about for the 17-year-old high schooler that isn't quite sure of what they want to do next? What about for the 21-year-old who hasn't quite figured out, okay, what's going to happen when I graduate? What about those guys?
Well, so that's a really good question. And the reason why we say we're not just recruiters, we're career counselors, is because we not only put them on a test to see where their skills actually lie, we have over 150 different jobs in the Army. So that's a lot of jobs to choose from. And the best thing is that we can talk to them, sit them down, go over a career track for them to try and figure out what their hobbies are, what their interests are, so we can go over a little bit more on what actually is going to work for them. We have so many different programs in place, in fact, that if somebody, to like what I did, get your college while you're in, so you're pursuing a career while getting your college, or if you want to join ROTC, go to college, have the Army pay for it for you, or if you just want to put it on the back end, do half of your career, while you're in, and then perhaps, you know, do college right after. There's so many different avenues of approach that you can take that the worst thing that they can do is, you know, just come in and talk to us, and we will help them out.
So where did you go to college?
Post-university, actually.
Okay, that's in, like, a near Long Island, like, between the city? Or am I looking totally... There is a post... Oh, I'm thinking Pace University.
Oh, no. It's post-university. It's actually in Connecticut.
Okay. Well, I was thinking Pace University, so there I got my geography wrong. So you went to college in Connecticut. When you were in college through this program that you're talking about, were you studying actively to be in the military, or was the military paying for it, and then at the end you promised service on the backside of it?
So the program that you're referring to is actually called the Green to Gold program.
Okay.
And this is a really great program. So what it is that you enlist into the United States Army for people that don't necessarily know where they're going.
Yeah.
Then they can drop a packet. And then what it is, as long as they meet the proper qualifications, they can choose to go to college in whatever college or university that they want to, as long as it has an ROTC program.
Gotcha. Okay.
Being as the Reserve Officer Training Corps.
Yep.
While they're attending college and to agree that they choose, they can actually go to it's basically an elective is what it is. It's ROTC. So along with their classes, they attend ROTC in order for preparation to become an officer. So upon graduation, and this is great for those that don't know what they want to do because it's an accelerated program.
Yeah.
So while everyone else is getting a four-year degree, they're getting their same four-year degree in like, I would say, what, about 2.5, 3 years, mm-hmm. Because they have to do it as quickly as possible. And did I mention you get paid while they're doing this?
You know, it was an enlightening experience for me. So I graduated college in 2012. I just turned 30, so we're all close to the same age. So I graduated college 2012. The first job I had out of college was an internship where I actually – worked at Norwich University, which is down in Northfield, and it's a senior military college, the oldest senior military college in the country. Not everyone who goes there is pursuing a military career, but it was like 75% military, they said, 75% cadet lifestyle. It was so eye-opening for me as someone who had just, been a, quote, regular college student to go in and see the lifestyle that they were living, the lifestyle that they were choosing was really, really admirable, Todd.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, individuals who choose that route to go to some of those senior military colleges or to the academy – I mean, it's definitely a different college experience. You know, in my case, I chose a more traditional college experience and did ROTC at the same time and then came out with that guaranteed job and also having the pleasure to serve in the Army. So and it's been great.
I love what you said there, guaranteed job, because one of the hardest things was you're about to grad. You know, I remember freaking out April of senior year. And here it is. I'm about to walk across the stage and it's like, I'm going to have a degree. I had pretty good grades. I played 4 years of sports. I'm like, I think I can do a lot of things, but I have no idea what I'm actually going to end up doing here. And it was very, very stressful. All of a sudden, the light went off. I'm like, damn, what is going to happen 1 month from now? And you say the word guaranteed job. That's pretty appealing to a lot of people, I think. So they kind of take me through. Where did you go to school?
So I got my undergraduate work done at Purdue University.
The Boilermakers.
That's right. So I did my undergraduate work, healthcare administration with them, currently pursuing my graduate degree in business admin and strategic leadership through Liberty University.
Virginia.
Yes.
Boom.
And so the cool thing about it is, you know, Sergeant Parton and Captain Wiegman were talking about like the ROTC programs, the cadet programs. The cool thing is you don't actually even have to go to those programs to go to school. So I'm a medic. Obviously, I'm not a cadet or anything, but I've got my bachelor's done, and I'm working on my master's while serving at the same time, which is really awesome. The cool thing, too, about you also said about guaranteed job experience is, you know, once I leave here, I'm going to be a medical platoon sergeant. How many, supervisors in this area can say they've managed 50 to 60 people with millions of dollars worth of inventory and, budgeting, with a degree. So that's really great post-Army, hey, I've got a bunch of experience, you should hire me on kind of stuff.
You know, Cody, it sounds too good to be true because the picture you're painting for me is that I'm going to go to school, I'm going to get an education that's paid for, mm-hmm. I'm going to go to school, I'm going to get a job that's guaranteed out of it,
right.
And I'm going to go to school at a time when college is rising in cost. I'm going to come out of the school with no debt because the military has fronted the bill. Am I understanding all this correctly?
You are understanding it correctly.
That sounds too good to be true for somebody.
Yes, indeed. And the only catch is you have to join the United States Army.
And is there a time commitment? Is it a 2-year commitment, a 4-year commitment, a lifetime commitment? Kind of what's the commitment to get all those benefits?
So the commitment actually to get a lot of our benefits actually vary depending on your job selection.
Okay.
So depending on – so for instance, if you are choosing something like Captain Wiegman is doing, like a military intelligence job,
mm-hmm.
your training is so in-depth and advanced that you actually – since it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars of education – while you're doing that in the military, you actually have a longer commitment time period. So you're looking at about 5 years of your initial contract.
Yeah.
But there are other jobs. We have two-year enlistment options that you can also get some of the same benefits, actually.
The thing I love about what you're saying, too, is that you said 150 different jobs. Or it feels like there truly is something for everybody.
Oh, there is.
You know, like, whatever you're good at, whatever your interest is, whatever you like. I mean, we're talking about medicine. We're talking about Intel. I mean, it just feels like there truly is something for somebody with a passion for anything.
Oh, absolutely. And that brings up to a good point here. So the Army just recently released a new campaign called What's Your Warrior? And this is a big push to capture the stories of real soldiers and paint the picture of what they do on a day-to-day basis so that way you can see yourself in their shoes, in their boots. And for example, the variety of things that we offer, some different specialty areas that you might be interested in: air and space, cyber, engineering, intelligence, science and medicine, communications, and support and logistics. So there's really career fields for every single person and every interest.
You know, and I won't ask you guys specifically what you guys make, but everyone I know in the military seems to be doing pretty well financially. You mentioned the benefits, the schooling, coming out of school with no debt. That certainly helps you set up well financially. But without getting into specifics, you could do a lot worse pay wise than what the military is giving.
Oh, in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
You know,
and you know what's actually great, because just to quickly mention some of the benefits that it'll offer, the Army also knows, especially when you have a family, that each area is different.
Yeah.
So, for instance, we get paid what we call a basic allowance for housing, depending on the zip code in our area that we're assigned to.
So if it's a higher cost of living,
right,
you're getting a higher
standard of living. You actually get compensated with that proper amount that you should be getting compensated by. And it's kind of unique in the Army or in military in general, because while you may have a good paying job, it doesn't compensate for whichever area that you're going to.
So
if your job moves for you.
So good schooling, good benefits, takes care of the family when you have one, good pay for you, opportunity to travel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing any negatives in this experience. So, Todd, if somebody is listening and somebody is inclined to think that this is a good route for them, what's kind of the first step?
I would say the first step that you want to do is, everyone has access to Google, so do some research on your own. You know, Google some questions that you have. You can really dig in and get a lot of information from the internet, from third sources, you know, that may provide you a clearer picture. Additionally, GoArmy.com is a huge source now. With the What's Your Warrior campaign, there's a career finder little tool there that you can kind of play with to see what sort of jobs you might be interested in or you might fit into. And then once you have those feelers out there, you've got some basic information, I would definitely say reach out to a recruiter and kind of cross-reference that data so you get the full picture.
You know, I talked about breaking stereotypes. I used to coach junior college baseball. I did that for a couple of years. And the thing I found was that people had such a negative connotation of the kind of people that went to junior college. People just assumed that if you were going to junior college, you were someone that wasn't good in school, you were lazy, you were a troublemaker, you needed junior college to straighten you out before mom and dad paid more expensive money for you to go to a four-year school. And that's the battle that I fought every day in recruiting. Like, no, this is a real benefit for you. This does not mean that you're fitting this type of box of kid that exists. I think people look at the military at times and say, well, that kid's 17. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's a screw off. He's just going to go in the Army. You guys are painting the picture here that that's very much not the case, much like I tried to do every day when I was coaching. I feel like you're getting a very, very wide range of people with a very, very wide range of abilities, a wide range of abilities, Cody.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. And it's kind of, I wouldn't say hilarious, but it's kind of interesting to know that it's actually harder to get into the Army than it is to actually apply for college.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Maybe it surprises some people. It doesn't surprise me, though.
Right. I mean, because we like we've all been saying, is we're looking for the best of the best, and we're looking for this cohesive team that we can all work together. And that's why talking to a recruiter is so important, is because our job is to literally help you on that path, that dream that you may have, to whatever it is you want to do to actually attain it. It's not about, okay, well, should I go to the Army, or should I go to college first, or should I just, you know, hang in the basement of mom and dad's, you know, for a couple of years? You know, talking to us doesn't commit anything or an obligation. It's to help you on your path to become, well, basically the best you can.
So if there is – so someone's gone on Google. They've gone to GoArmy.com.
Right.
Now they're coming into your office in Burlington. Where is exactly the office?
So our address is actually at 1944 Williston Road, just right next to the poorhouse.
Right next to the Poor House.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Poor House is a good supporter of the military. They do a lot of functions over there throughout the course of the year. So,
yeah, right.
A lot of charities type stuff there. I know the Josh Pallotta Fund, who we're close with, has done some things over at the Poor House in the past. So once they come into your office, what's kind of that next step? The initial step is go online and do research.
Okay.
The next step is come visit you.
So when they come visit us, the first thing we're going to do is do a really quick pre-qualification. We're just going to ask them real basic questions, you know, like, hey, what's your age? Is there any type of medication you're currently taking on whatnot? Have you had any law violations in the past couple of years? And then once all that's finished, it usually takes, like, I would say, in excess of 5 minutes, five, 10 minutes. We put you on a quick test that takes about 15, 20 minutes max. It's actually a combination of 20 questions. And once we have your score, we can better look at the different careers and jobs that you actually qualify for. Which is really great to see when people walk in, like, oh, yeah, you got a great score. Hey, let's show you a list of jobs that you're going to qualify for.
You know, one of the other things I think, we'll wrap this up relatively quickly, but one of the other things I think is pretty cool, my next-door neighbor growing up is in the Army.
Okay.
And he recently deployed. He was in Iraq for a year, and he came back. And it was interesting because he had a job, and he was doing kind of the weekend thing where, you know, you go, or a couple of days a month.
Oh, okay,
you go.
Yeah.
So he was in, I don't know if that's the reserves or whatever, but he was doing where he'd go one weekend a month and kind of keep his training active. And so he had a job. He was a police officer, and then he left for deployment, and then his job was waiting for him when he came back,
yes.
Which, I mean, I don't think that's – usually when you leave something for a year, it's not waiting for you when you get back. And I'm like, okay, only the military can provide something like this.
Right.
It's like,
On that note, it's actually kind of cool working with, you know, as a recruiter in New York, the New York State Police, not only will they maintain your job position while you're gone, but while you're gone, they will maintain your pay through the entire deployment.
Oh, wow.
So New York State will continue to pay your trooper wages while you're deployed.
Wow. And he lives in New York, so he's taking advantage of that. You talked about the different timelines that everyone's on at different commitment levels. Whenever the day comes where you guys are no longer in the military, when you think about it now, and it's kind of hard to project how you're going to feel in 5, 10, 15 years from now, what would you say has been the biggest benefit of you being in the Army, Todd?
I think the biggest benefit for me is experiencing the different places that I've lived, experiencing the new people that I've met and the friendships that I've made. And those are connections that will help me in future careers and just in life in general down the road. People I can rely on and talk to.
Nathaniel, same question.
So for me, I think the biggest thing that I'm going to take away from it is, you know, the experiences and the college and stuff is good, but it got me out of my small town. It got me out of my naive little world where, you know, everybody from the small town in Arizona is that same small town mentality that you see up here. It's taught me how to interact with different people from different cultures, different backgrounds. You know, I never thought I'd meet somebody from Texas and from Florida and be in the same room as them. So I think that's been my biggest takeaway is being more well-rounded, to be more versed in the world and how things actually work outside of my little town.
Cody, how about you as we wrap up?
So just kind of what they were saying actually is because we could talk about benefits all the live long day, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, in like Sergeant Hayes said, you know, they're all great and everything like that. But that's just a bonus. The real thing for me, honestly, is the connections that I've made. The friends and basically what we would call family is something like you have for a lifetime.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, some guy that I knew 4 years ago was reaching out to me last night, actually, coincidentally. And, yeah, he was just asking me questions, said if I ever needed a hole up somewhere in Kansas, because that's the last duty station I came from.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you got a place in mind. That kind of stuff to me is more important than anything that you could possibly get. And I would say any job anywhere else that you can honestly find. I mean, it's just the connections that you gain is just incredible.
When you're not at one of the service academies, does the Army-Navy game mean as much to you guys as it means to the people who are actually attending the service academies?
Well, hopefully when the Army wins, we get a day off. So,
there you go.
I would say we're a little bit more committed, I suppose, to see who wins. But
Yeah, so you're all in. Army's won the last couple of years.
I know.
After
a
lengthy losing streak, the Army is back on top the annual Army-Navy game, a game I've always wanted to go to. Look, this was an honor for me to do it, an honor for me to help tell the story of you three, to help tell the story of the military as a whole. Really fitting that we got to do it the week of Veterans Week. I thank you, or Veterans Day, rather. I thank each of you for your service. Thank each of you for coming in, your commitment to public service, your commitment to helping keep us all safe in various ways. So, Todd, Nate, Cody, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.